Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Bandy Bono, and we are back for another week.
Another week and another topic that is very interesting and that people have been demanding, Ben.
Demanding. Yes, we are dipping into the horror genre once again, yes. Which is kind of our, out of all the genre fiction, if we're calling fantasy, sci-fi, superheroes, horror, all the various genres we cover, horror is probably the one we have talked about the least.
Yes, I think we only have one episode
where we talked about the genre in general, and I tried to convince you
that Jesus was not a zombie?
No, not that
one. Oh, okay.
You're messed up, man.
We have to bring this up every time we can.
We could call this episode, Was Jesus a Poltergeist?
No, we can't. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
He wasn't, though. He was resurrected.
But a poltergeist would be a ghost that interacts with the physical realm.
I know, but Jesus wasn't a ghost.
Okay, he wasn't a zombie or a clone either, dude.
I just think I have a better argument for those two things than ghosts. That's all. So anyways, as you might have guessed by Ben's alluding, we're talking about ghosts today.
We are.
And originally, we were going to be doing this, are ghosts biblically compatible?
Isn't that what we're still doing? Because that's what my notes are for.
Yes, that's what it is. But we were going to try to do a debate, remember?
We were. And then I beat you in advance.
You pre-beat me.
I did.
As we looked over our notes, some things became clear. And we'll talk about that after Sci-Fi News. So, you know, some things we can probably still debate on, but more minor issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because before you and I talked yesterday afternoon and you said you maybe didn't want to take the side opposing ghosts.
Yeah.
I was having lunch yesterday with Skip Crust, our friend and pastor.
Correct.
And I was telling him about what our show was going to be today. And he said, Matt has no case if that's what he's going to be arguing. He's going to get killed.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing you came.
And then I called you last night and I said, I don't think I can argue this side.
No. So we'll present some of the counter arguments out there. But I think we're going to be roughly on the same page today.
I believe you're correct, but that we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Ben, I think it's time for Sci-Fi News.
It's time for Sci-Fi News.
Well, Ben?
Lots and lots of news this week.
I'm going to start with one small one, just so I can plug a video we just recorded.
Okay.
So Thor opened this past weekend, and as you know, we love Marvel and superheroes. It was the number one opener with $66 million.
Yeah.
And Ben and I just a few moments ago, before pressing the record button, recorded our review of
Thor. It wasn't the number one movie.
It was.
Fast Five, I think, beat it.
Check it out online right now while I talk about this video. So me and Ben just recorded a video that you can look for on our YouTube page, which I think our user ID is just Sci-Fi Christian. The Sci-Fi Christian? Okay. And so we will give you our ratings at that point. But here's... did you look it up yet, Ben?
I'm working on it.
You're so slow.
Shut up.
Slowest browser ever. Anyways, so...
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that
it was number one. Yeah, so good for Thor. And if you'd like to know how we feel, check out our video.
Yeah. Don't waste your time on this movie, people.
Oh, wait. Okay. Spoiler alert for our video.
I'm doing a public service by saying read the summary online and save yourself $10.
So, okay.
And definitely don't see it in 3D.
Oh, yeah. I saw it in 2D, and I read that 3D makes it a worse movie than it might already be, depending on what you feel about it.
Skip and I were going to go see it in 2D. But the showtime, we were not able to finish our meeting on time, so we wound up going to 3D instead, and I really wish that we would have finished our meeting on time, because 3D was awful. Awful, awful.
I heard that about 3D. So, yeah. Thor, I thought, okay. Ben thought horrible.
I didn't think horrible. Mediocre. An exercise in mediocrity, I believe, is what I called it on the review.
Very good. So, what's the next piece of news you have?
Well, I've got kind of a fun one that I want to start with. Do you remember our story from a while back, a month or two ago, about how Stan Lee wanted a cameo in Dark Knight Rises?
I do remember that.
He is back again, asking for another cameo in a comic book thing that he did not create.
What is it?
Stan Lee wants a cameo in Walking Dead Season 2.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, again...
He's really trying to get in there. He was in Thor. You saw him there?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
But once again, we have Stan Lee trying to cameo in a series he did not create.
I don't He must just love being the king of cameos.
I think that he thinks that every comic book published, he created.
Either that, or he thinks that his name is big enough that they would want Stan the Man to be in it.
And I guess that Robert Kirkman, who's the writer of Walking Dead and is involved in the TV series, is on board with this.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
So we're going to see zombie Stan Lee?
Oh, if we do, that would be good, and maybe that will be a precursor to Stan Lee taking over as Commissioner Gordon in Dark Knight Rises.
That would be like the worst plot twist ever, man. Wow.
Commissioner Gordon's cousin, the other Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Dordan.
No, I mean, they don't have to have different last names. They're cousins.
That's true.
Okay. Nice work.
Yeah. All right. I don't know.
All right. So I want to go to, we already talked to this right before we started, but this is my saddest piece of news for the week.
Okay.
Both of us have been enjoying Stephen King's books, me more recently, and you forever, apparently.
Forever.
Yep. The Dark Tower they had this mammoth plan to have a movie and then a 1-year season of television and then a movie the following summer. This is Universal Studios. Such a great idea. Really cool. And they're considering not moving forward with this, Ben.
Yeah, I think Universal Studios decided that they don't want to make money after all.
This is a pretty big project. I can see why they might be skeptical. It's not like an average, put a movie out and hope for the best.
Okay, but do you think they looked at that whole Game of Thrones thing that's going pretty well for HBO and decided, we don't really want to go in that direction? The whole fantasy genre between Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, yeah. Narnia, this has not been the decade for the fantasy genre, so we are not going down that road.
Yeah, I hope that, it's not for sure yet. They might still do it, but it sounds like they have some cold feet happening.
Yeah, and these things aren't for sure, because last week we reported the story of Alcatraz possibly not going to be picked up.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
And that has turned around.
Completely turned around, yeah. Well, Fox went ahead and canceled two shows, Human Target and Chicago Code, and in its place has replaced it with
Alcatraz.
Yes, so J.J. Abrams' show that is going to be starring former Lost cast member Jorge Garcia, he'll be in it. And Ben, for the first time now, when this news came out, I actually found out what the show is about.
What is it about?
Do you have any idea?
I don't.
Oh my gosh, I hope this might be spoiler if you don't want to know anything about the pilot.
I would like to know.
But it's in the vein of a Prison Break, like the TV show Prison Break, only instead of just escaping to the world, the prisoners are escaping to the future.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
My faith in J.J. Abrams has been lowered considerably of late.
Which things have kind of pushed you over the edge of
Fringe?
Diminishing?
Fringe.
Fringe, that's it?
Well,
what about Undercovers? Did you ever watch that last year?
No. I mean, he's had like two or three failed series in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Fringe has absolutely dropped off a cliff.
Well, if you want to know our complete thoughts on the...
We have a review of that, too, on
Fringe.
YouTube.
We've been doing a lot of reviews lately.
We have been. It's been a review-heavy week. Yeah, well, because when 900 people have watched our Game of Thrones review...
Oh, my gosh. You're patting yourself on the back.
I am.
Cool.
900 people have watched our Game of Thrones review, and HBO has favorited it on their official Game of Thrones YouTube page.
Let's talk about this. Game of Thrones. So we started doing these reviews a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, HBO favorites us, as Ben just said, and our numbers skyrocketed from about 100 to 900. That's pretty awesome.
As I said to Matt earlier this week, we are not famous, but we are slightly less not famous than we were 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
That's exciting for us.
Yeah. So this has been a kind of a crazy internet week.
We're a hit in Sweden.
Big time.
And I mean, Argentina.
All over the world, our numbers are... tell us some more, because you were able
Spain?
To...
Portugal,
which is amazing because we speak none of those languages.
Some dude in Croatia sent us some hate mail because we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
And I said, I love the persecution because now we get some treasures in heaven.
There you
some
go.
Some crowns.
Yeah.
So bring on the persecution, guys.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Some guy off in some small remote island off the west coast of Australia is a big fan of us.
I mean... The list could go on and on.
And Colin in the UK.
Yes.
And there's even a few people in Canada.
That's why I just keep saying international sensations, the sci-fi Christian.
Yeah, we've got like 30, 40 views from Canada, which is like 70% of that country's population. Yep. So everyone in Canada has watched us.
Ben, this might be a good time for me to interject a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not sci-fi news, but I think it's fitting with us talking about ourselves.
Okay.
So
this is the Narcissism Report. So, I'm Ben DiBono.
I'm Matt Anderson. And last night... I was talking with my roommate and my friend about this topic of ghosts in the Bible, and they were strongly against it. And I started arguing what was supposed to be your side,
yes.
which made it a little awkward because I knew I was supposed to be debating the opposite side. And I realized something. We're hitting issues that some people think are dumb and not worth talking about in church or in general theologically. So, but it is. When you really dive into it, we're talking about things in the Bible that many pastors never talk about. For example, my roommate had never even heard the story from 1 Samuel that we're going to be referencing,
yeah.
which I was pretty surprised about because being a fan of sci-fi, I knew all about the ghosts in the Bible.
Absolutely.
So I realized something, Ben. Much like on the show Fringe, they talk about fringe science. You and I
do, fringe scripture?
No, fringe theology.
Ooh, very nice.
So,
oh, I kind of want to rename the show now to fringe theology.
Well, we're not going to rename the show, but
especially after we just ripped on Fringe.
Yeah, but I mean, we're diving into parts of theology that some people are afraid to discuss.
Yes,
I love it.
I love it too. That's awesome. Well, this has been the Narcissism Report.
That's all from here. I'm Ben Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBoto.
And let's get back to the news.
So, all right.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, an actor whose name I don't know in real life, but who plays...
Khal Drogo?
Yes, is going to be starring in Conan the Barbarian, the reboot.
Because everyone's so excited about that
movie. I'm not excited about the movie, but it's kind of cool that one of our Game of Thrones actors is maybe making it big with a potential blockbuster, do you think?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, interesting as it is.
You do know that they have starred in other things besides Game of Thrones.
That guy has?
No, just the actors in general.
Well, yes, like extra in the background of random cop shows.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
This is by far his first starring role.
Okay. Well, congratulations, actor who plays Khal Drogo. You're so famous, we don't even know your name.
This one's to the Horse Lords.
Yes.
Okay.
Pirates 5, Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Oh my gosh, Pirates, your favorite movie?
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say? It did.
The script is in
okay.
for Pirates 5. Pirates 4 comes out
soon.
Soon.
We're going to see it, not in the theaters, or we are seeing it in the theaters?
I'll probably see it in the theaters. I'm cautiously optimistic about it,
okay.
but I will rip it if it deserves ripping.
Of course you will.
Yes. It's kind of funny because Matt has figured out that whenever... We try not to talk about movies before we do reviews,
yeah,
if we can.
Yeah, so last night when we were... I called him to talk about this my ghost problem where I didn't know if I could soundly fight an argument.
Yeah.
I brought up that we were going to do the review of Thor today, and he said... Oh, I have a lot to say about that.
And Matt has figured out that that is code for I hated the movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were trying not to tell each other what we thought, but...
As soon as I said, yeah, I've got a lot to say about that one, Matt figured it out. So I need to vary my phrases that I use when we are being vague.
I may have much to talk about in regards to that subject.
Yes, perhaps.
Perhaps.
All right, what else do we have? Oh, Smallville, Stargate Universe. Are both ending this week.
Two shows I don't watch, but we have a lot of fans that are into them.
Yeah, I would like to check out Smallville sometime.
Yeah, me too.
I think it may make me slightly more sympathetic toward Clark Kent and Superman, since I am a avowed Superman hater.
Yeah, I've been saying for years I've been wanting to watch that show, and I just decided to wait until after the show is complete, and I'll watch it all straight through. Stargate Universe, I watched the very beginning of this season 1, which they only had one season. As far as I know.
Yeah.
And I didn't stick with it. But
I think this was the second season.
Oh, really? Well, either way, it got canceled by Sci-Fi Network.
Yeah. Good thing Sci-Fi canceled Caprica, too. You know, they're just canceling all these shows that are fairly popular.
Well, they have other shows that people like.
Like what?
Well,
what else are they... What do they have on
here's some
there
shows
as far
that,
as original programming?
Yep, right, I'm going to tell you, but these are all shows I don't watch.
Yeah.
They have a show called Eureka. Which I have the first season of, but I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, that looks semi-interesting.
They have this show, Warehouse 13.
Eh, does not interest me.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of this, and I didn't like it, but a lot of people do like that show. They have one that is about vampires, werewolves, being human. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have never watched
that. That's brand new. That's kind of a hit. They have Battlestar is Returning with Blood and Chrome next year.
Is it? I knew Blood and Chrome was coming out. I didn't know it was next year.
I'm pretty sure it's next year. I mean, they're already into casting. I don't know if they started filming yet, but...
Ooh, we need to dig up some news on that.
Okay.
next week. Okay. We'll bring you an update on where
Blood
and Chrome is.
They have original programming, I think. And they have countless amazing original movies.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see quality drama that cuts right to the core of human condition, tune into sci-fi original movies.
I think every Saturday night you can see some of their...
brand new movie that was filmed in the last 2 days.
So, yeah, check that out.
Wow. Yeah. Should we get to our Dark Knight Rises news? Or did you have anything more before we get to that?
No, that's all for me. Oh, wait, no, I do have something. I'm sorry. Okay. I was going to read from this article. So this is straight from Collider.com. And I just want to read the beginning. Director Barry Sonnenfeld and acclaimed comic writer Grant Morrison are teaming up for Dominion, Dinosaurs versus Aliens.
Oh my gosh, I heard about this.
Yeah. Now, let me just read this first part. Sonnenfeld will direct and Morrison will write the graphic novel and the screenplay. The story takes place on the secret prehistoric Earth, where aliens invade and super intelligent dinosaurs are the planet's only hope. If the aliens have a device that chucks giant meteors at the planet, then, spoiler alert, they won.
Man. I'm sitting here, and my brain feels ready to explode because on the one hand, this sounds like the single dumbest thing I've ever heard of, and on the other hand, it sounds like it could be the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this, but I love that part about... chucking meteors.
Yeah, Barry Sonnenfeld, not a great director, so I am not optimistic.
Ben, to the Batmobile. Let's
go. To the Batmobile. Let's go.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Hey, he said it too.
All right.
This is kind of a weird week for Dark Knight Rises news.
Yeah, I sent you some stuff this morning, but I think you already had most of it all gathered together. So.
Yeah, so let's start with, there's a couple things in the story you sent me this morning that I didn't know about.
Okay.
That Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, she's saying that she has a small part in the movie.
Yeah.
And we've been assuming that it was going to end up being a secretly large part.
Yeah, so probably not Talia al Ghul.
Well,
are they
just trying to throw us off? I just don't know who to believe.
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of obfuscation.
Why would you
get
such a famous actress at this point in her career to play a small part?
Well, it could be a very important part. She didn't have a huge part in Inception either, when you think about it.
I guess it's true.
Yeah.
It was pretty large when you think about it. She was actually in quite a few scenes.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of cryptic about this that makes me think it might not be Talia al Ghul, if she is telling the truth, mm-hmm. is that she just had a child, mm-hmm. and she said that the role was a good one for a new mom, which I read as there isn't a lot of physical action and stunts taking place in this role.
Okay. Well, interesting.
So I'm assuming that if it's Talia al Ghul, we will not see her fighting very much.
Yes. Well, I don't know if she really does in general, anyways.
Yeah, she does.
She does some fighting?
Yeah.
I don't know anything too much about her fighting skills.
She's just like Ra's al Ghul. It'd be a similar type of role.
Speaking of Ra's al Ghul,
yes.
Did you see the rumored Lazarus pit?
Yeah, so this is interesting. We have a leaked set photo of a hole in the ground with a green screen in it.
Yes.
And from that, people are... assuming that this is a Lazarus pit.
You know what this is, right?
Yeah, the Lazarus pit is, in the comics, Ra's al Ghul is immortal and he mm-hmm. goes down into the Lazarus
it's
pit
like his
and
way
is
to...
renewed.
Yep, exactly. And I think he's even resurrected people. And I believe that the Robin that was killed by Joker was resurrected in the Lazarus pit.
Was he?
Yep, that's how he came back.
I didn't think he came back.
He did. He came back. But I don't want to spoil for
because anything. Everybody comes back in comics, which is why I don't read them.
Okay.
At least not superhero comics.
You do sometimes.
Only specific stories.
For example, we are about to read Marvel Zombies, finally.
Yeah, but like, I don't read the ongoing series.
Okay.
I'm not going to pick up Batman issue 9086.
Okay. So you know, Damon Lindelof, writer of Lost, is going to be writing a short 10-page story in Action Comics 900.
Yeah, 10 pages.
So
woo-hoo.
Check it out.
Will it be the type of story where for the first 9 pages he raises a whole bunch of questions and mysteries, and then page 10 is him saying, "I'm not going to answer them because you don't need to know"?
Because it's about the characters?
Yeah.
Probably. Perhaps.
And then George R. R. Martin will do an interview talking about how much he hated that 10-page story.
Yeah, this... I don't really like the way this conversation is going.
Yeah, you're wearing your Lost shirt today.
I know.
So I need to be kind to you.
Thank you.
I do not believe that this is a Lazarus pit.
What do you believe it is?
I have no idea.
A hole in the ground?
Yeah.
That's something I just took a picture of. It's not even part of the movie.
A hobbit hole.
Okay.
We'll see Bruce Wayne in the hobbit hole. Okay. Dark Knight Rises, you heard it here first. I don't think it's a Lazarus Pit because I don't think a Lazarus Pit would really fit into Christopher Nolan's world.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little bit maybe not real life enough, world enough.
Yeah, so I'm not buying it. I don't think... I'm sure there's something there. They're obviously doing some type of special effect, hence the green screen. But I don't believe that it's going to be anything like what people are assuming.
Okay. Did you read about the kid version of Bane, I think, that they had?
Yeah, a little bit. Tell me more.
Basically, they... Now, this is all just eyewitnesses. It's nobody that's like has any authority to give this news.
Yeah.
So here's what they're saying. That they saw the young version of Ra's al Ghul. Is it Raj or Raz?
Raz.
Raz. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Ra's al Ghul taking some young child out of this quote-unquote Lazarus pit, and that they think that that is the birth of Bane.
This sounds pretty sketchy to me.
Yeah. I mean, this is not insiders. This is random people that walked by a hole.
And assumed that what they were seeing was a young Ra's al Ghul. How can you tell that?
Well, because they know the actor that's playing young Ra's al Ghul.
No, you don't. It's not. It hasn't been confirmed.
It is confirmed. It's somebody with the last name Pence.
No. We know he's going to be in it. It has not been confirmed that he's young Ra's al Ghul.
I think you're wrong. You might want to check your facts on that one.
I am pretty sure Christopher Nolan has not confirmed that.
Okay.
And unless it comes from the Nolan,
we talked about this on the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's what the rumor is.
Okay.
But I don't think that that was a fact.
All right. Well, let's move on.
For sure.
So the thing I think is more skeptical is... why would they think this is a Bane that's coming out, a young Bane that's coming out of the pool?
Maybe he had the Spanish wrestler's mask on.
Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Maybe it was Jack Black from Nacho Libre coming out of the hole.
Horrible movie.
Yeah. That was a bad movie, man.
So, I think that's all that I had for Batman news. Do you have any more?
I do not. Should we get to our main topic?
Let's talk about some ghosts.
Once I find the... transition music.
I'm just not ready.
It
couldn't be worse at segues.
I'm not on my game today.
We should have used the Ghostbusters song.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. Did you ever watch that cartoon when you were growing up?
No, I saw the first Ghostbusters movie, and I did not care for it.
Yeah, I mean, movies aren't great, but the cartoon was pretty fun.
But people regard Ghostbusters as one of the greatest comedies of all time.
I wouldn't be one of those people.
Me neither. I don't understand the attraction to it. So one more challenge here. In addition to somebody still waiting for someone to explain to me why Superman is a worthwhile character, explain to me why Ghostbusters is a funny movie.
Okay.
Because I don't get it. There's funny parts in it, but overall, it's kind of a boring movie that is very, very dated. It has not aged well.
You heard it here first. The Sci-Fi Christians hate Ghostbusters.
I don't hate it, but I kind of do.
Okay. Ben, so we presented this question. Are ghosts compatible with the Bible?
Yes.
And we actually asked some of our audience, do you want to read anything just to set the stage, or should we get right to our own debate?
I do want to read some stuff, but before we do that, what I would like to do is define what our definition of ghosts are.
Because I think that's really important.
When we get to our listener comments, there's a couple people, Kobe, who are defining ghosts differently than how we would define it.
Okay.
And that plays a big impact when we start having this conversation.
Okay.
So give me your definition, and I will correct it if need be.
Okay, thank you for your confidence.
You're welcome.
Here's what I'm going to call ghosts. A ghost is somebody who has died, and they are able in some way to come back in spirit form, or I guess some people would even say ghosts have appeared physically, and they interact with the world that we live in.
Yeah, I think that's good. The way I had defined it in my notes is, let me pull it up and I will read it for you exactly, I think. Do I have it? No, I don't.
Okay.
But that's okay, because I can do it from memory. A ghost would be a manifestation of a disembodied manifestation of the soul of a deceased individual within the physical realm.
Okay. Identical to mine, only with bigger words.
Yes.
Very nice.
That's the way I like to do it.
All right.
So with that in mind, we got some interesting comments this morning from people who were on both sides of the debate.
Yes, they are.
So how about you start out, and let's read Brady's comment that you have.
I do have it.
Because he was on the pro-ghost side, and then I will read from Dave, who was more on the anti-ghost side.
All right. Here we go. Brady. I have to admit, I love ghosts. Do I believe in them? Not really, but I do believe that they can be compatible with the biblical worldview for two reasons. Number one, the ghost of Samuel and the witch of Endor. not the forest moon.
That's so cool, though. I always get a smile on my face whenever I read that story.
And that story is in
the forest moon of Endor.
That story is in 1 Samuel 28. So that is in the Bible. 1 Samuel 28.
Ewoks are confirmed in the Bible.
Correct. Number two, Brady writes, I think I believe in one judgment day and therefore not individual ones. This is a really interesting point.
And it is.
He's going to expand on both these things. I want to give a bit of background on my second point. Okay, he's going to expand on the second point, actually.
Okay.
When in the grand scheme of life or of death, would a ghost exist? I get accused of being in soul sleep a lot. Oh, sorry. I'm reading this horribly. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I get accused of believing in soul sleep a lot, but honestly, I don't know where I stand on it. I think that the idea has been...
Oh, my gosh.
What is that, Ben?
I was bringing up some Bible software on my computer, and it just yelled at us.
Oh, boy.
So that was fun.
This email reading could not be going worse.
Sorry, Brady.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, here's Brady continuing on to write to us. I think that the idea has been demonized because some crazed people buy into it.
Demonized. Interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting choice of words. People take verses like, to be away from the body is at home with God, to say a direct statement about what happens immediately after we die. I don't believe that that is the intent of the verse. It seems that some people use it to prove a point, like a baby. Did you read this? A baby would try to fit a square block in a round hole. That might have been.
Just like people are trying to, they're trying to slam a square block into a round
hole. I've heard that, but what does a baby have to do with it?
Babies are the ones who play with square blocks and round holes. I don't know.
Interesting.
He's just trying to add some detail, man.
Okay, good. If there is one judgment day, which means that all people will be judged at the same time. In Revelation, it talks about the seas giving up their dead to be judged. Of course, this isn't literal, but I believe that the idea may be the same. There seems to be one judgment day instead of each one getting our own right after we die. So the time between death and the judgment day would be the time that a ghost is able to be a ghost. Ghouls are us? Slogan, anyone?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I understand that some people believe that there are intermediate places. I'm not talking about purgatory, but rather what some have nicknamed Abraham's bosom because of Luke 16. This is likely, and I respect. Again, I'm absolutely on absolute on the subject. I have empathy on both sides. In short, I'm open to the possibility of ghosts, and I believe that they can fit in the biblical worldview. But this is something I know for sure. If I was a ghost, I would want to be really good at it. I wouldn't waste time knocking over vases and slamming doors like people today think ghosts would do. I believe I would strive for more creativity. Really, why are ghosts so stupid and petty? What about death makes ghosts so feeble-minded? I believe death would bring much enlightenment because your priorities would be set. Start finally. Not sure what that means. And knocking over vases and popping up on the Sci-Fi Network isn't a great priority.
Brady, I think we're just going to have Matt Anderson reads Brady's emails from now on as a segment of the show.
I'm not supposed to give commentary along the way.
That was a pretty epic reading of Brady's email.
Brady from St. Louis.
Yes. Lovely. So Brady is pro-ghost, and I think he makes a fascinating point about final judgment.
Yes. We didn't even talk about that.
No, but we're going to later.
Now we will.
Because I have that in my notes.
Nice.
So Brady and I are thinking alike. Dave wrote on our Facebook page, and he writes, I think most ghosts that people see are something demonic. And by ghost activity, I think that people see or hear, I think...
You messed it up.
Oh my gosh, we're doing horrible today!
And by ghost activity, I mean things.
Things that people see or hear that induces fear. Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The exact same verse Brady was referencing. We have a smackdown going on between our fans.
Yep.
Because he was a believer, so I don't see ghosts being lost human souls, but there is something about the time Saul went to the witch and saw the spirit of Samuel that's an interesting twist.
I think it is an interesting twist.
Yes.
Do we have more we want to say?
Well, should we talk about that passage a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
I will have to get my Bible.
Well, I already brought up my Bible software here.
I have a Bible
made
right
that
here.
Really loud, obnoxious noise.
What verse is it?
1 Samuel 28.
No, not that one. Are we talking about the absent from the body one?
No, let's talk about 1 Samuel.
All right, I've got that available.
Okay. Do you want me to read it?
I think you should.
Okay. And so it says, and when Samuel or when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servant, seek out for me a woman who is a medium that I may go and inquire of her.
Stop. You forgot to read verse 3, which says, now Samuel had died, and all Israel had...
Well, I thought that was assumed.
Well, it's not assumed, because we have to set the stage. Okay. Samuel is dead, now Saul is going to inquire of a medium. Continue.
And his servants told him, behold, there is a medium on the forest moon of Endor.
Not an exact quote from the Bible, but close.
It's pretty much an exact quote from the Bible.
Okay.
With a little bit of Star Wars spice in there. So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done, now how he has cut off the mediums and necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for me?
It's a trap!
Oh my gosh.
This is all... Return of the Jedi is this passage. This is amazing.
This whole chapter from 1 Samuel.
Are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? But Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a god coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. And then they go on to have a conversation.
Wait, but this is the best part, because then the Bible says, then Samuel said to Saul. So it set the stage. Samuel is saying this, and he's dead.
Yes.
Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me. And answers me no more, either by prophet or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy?
Yes.
So we have a clear indication that Samuel is speaking to Saul.
Yeah, this is a really interesting chapter when it comes to the discussion of ghosts in the Bible. For a couple reasons. Number one, did you know that the word that it uses when the medium says that it was a divine being, I see a divine being coming up from the earth?
Mm-hmm.
The word that is in the Hebrew is Elohim, which is the same word for God.
Well, isn't that the Lord? Or is that...
It's God.
Yeah, God, okay.
So the way that that would be translated and what she's trying to get at is that this is clearly a spiritual being.
Okay.
There is, this is a spiritual manifestation that we are seeing within the physical realm. So that is part one of our definition on ghosts,
mm-hmm.
a disembodied or spiritual manifestation of a deceased person within the physical realm.
Yes.
We've got two of those three parts in the physical realm and spiritual manifestation, and then we have it confirmed that Samuel, who is dead, is the person in this passage.
Yeah, because I was, like I said, last night I was arguing with some friends about this, and they were saying, well, maybe it was just a demon that looked like Samuel. And I said, the Bible says, then Samuel said, the Bible is not trying to trick us. It says a certain person is doing the talking, not somebody pretending to be Samuel.
Yeah. At a minimum, I think you have to say that the clearest reading of the text is that this is really Samuel
mm-hmm.
who comes up.
Definitely.
I think that if you conclude that this is a demon, you are concluding so because your worldview does not allow you to believe in ghosts, and you must come up with another explanation. But you are doing hermeneutical gymnastics in order to get there.
I would agree. Something interesting did come up, though. I don't know if you're going to mention this, but... did you notice that Saul didn't actually see Samuel himself?
That is interesting. So just the medium sees. But they're talking back and forth.
I know, and it makes me want to ask, is Samuel speaking through this medium? I mean, the Bible is saying it's Samuel, so let's assume that it is the dead person speaking, but is he speaking through an intermediate?
So is he possessing her?
In a sense.
Like
I mean,
that?
Because he's... Saul doesn't see him, so maybe he could hear. You don't have to see somebody to be able to hear them. But
yeah.
he clearly doesn't see Samuel.
True. But I think that it's very clear from the passage that there is some type of manifestation going on. This isn't just a vision. I think that there's clearly...
Yeah, Samuel's there.
Physical things taking place because he's hearing Samuel speak, whether it's through this woman or whoever.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, they're not just in a spiritual trance or whatever, according to the clearest reading of the text.
I also think it's funny that the way that Saul was able to identify Samuel is because the lady said he's an old man wrapped in robes.
Oh, yes.
Definitely Samuel.
That's all I need.
So I just, when I think of the Old Testament, I just picture all of them as old men in robes.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm wrong.
But, well, it's not that far-fetched, because what if somebody told you, I see this long-haired, bearded guy wearing a sci-fi shirt? Who would you think of?
Oh, my gosh. Ben DeBono, Back from the Dead.
Back from the Dead. Wait a second.
That's what I'll be thinking.
I'm not yet dead.
Yet.
It's like the scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Bring out your dead scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dead yet! I'm getting better!
Very nice.
Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Not at all. I've seen the movie, but I don't remember that scene.
So they're doing the whole bring out your dead of people who are dying from the plague.
It's a newt.
A newt?
Isn't there a newt? Yeah. They do like... Is this... Are we talking about Holy Grail?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a newt in that movie. Like witches? Newts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that with the Black Knight, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah. So the dude's dying from the Black Plague, and he's an old guy, and his son wants to get rid of him, so he's bringing him out to the cart to throw him away with the other dead bodies, even though he's not yet dead.
I do remember that.
And I'm not dead yet! I'm getting better! So great.
It's actually funny when you just say it.
Yeah. But this is not the only case. Most people will stop here and say, this is where ghosts appear in the Bible. I disagree.
Yeah, let's go behind the scenes again. And when I was talking to you last night, you had mentioned there's another case. And I said, wait, what? And so then I did a little scouring of my own and found another.
Because at that point, we were still maybe going to debate. And so I refused to tell you what I was thinking of.
Exactly. So I went to the Bible, the Word of God, and found yet another case of not one, but two dead people coming back to talk to somebody in the physical realm.
Yes, at the same time. Moses and Elijah, back from the dead.
Oh, and this would be, I mean, this would be a great movie.
It would be. Oh, I got Moses and Elijah, back from the dead.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I'm picturing them with machine guns.
Oh, totally. Yeah, like the all the bullets strapped over their shoulders and they're...
Yeah. We could have like Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger team up. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Elijah.
Yeah, so we're obviously talking about the transfiguration scene. So who should play Jesus? Did you say Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Then we need Sylvester Stallone to play Jesus.
So awesome.
The Expendables Part 3.
Back to the Bible.
Back to the Bible.
Wow.
So the transfiguration, Ben. Jesus is there.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's there. James and John. But guess who else?
Moses and Elijah show
correct.
Up.
What the heck? They're from the Old Testament. What are they doing in the New Testament?
Well, they're back from the dead.
So what do you think the deal is with this?
Well, I think a couple things. That I think most people hearing this who would be on the other side of the debate would be instantly saying, they're not ghosts. You know, this is Moses and Elijah coming there, and we don't typically think of this scene as being about ghosts.
Yeah.
I would bring you back to our technical definition of ghosts.
Exactly. The technical definition that we laid out that I think a lot of you listeners have agreed with already.
Mm-hmm. Says, a disembodied manifestation. We know that they're not physical because they disappear after the transfiguration is over.
I just realized something. Elijah never died.
Well, he was taken up to heaven.
At least we have Moses. He definitely died.
I think we can say that Elijah ceased to be living in the same way that you and I are living here on this earth.
I think that's a safe bet.
So... we might have to tweak our definition a little bit, but I think it still works for Elijah.
Okay.
So somebody who is no longer living in the way we would typically think of somebody walking around here on Earth living in the physical realm. So according to our technical definition of what a ghost is, these are two ghosts who are appearing next to Jesus.
Yeah, and this is not just an Old Testament, oh, that's ancient and we don't have to listen to the Old Testament. This is the New Testament, the gospel. The story appears in Mark, Luke, and Matthew.
Yeah. So it's all over the place. It's a popular story.
good point, Ben. So we have these. So what do we do with this, Ben? We have two biblical examples of ghosts.
Well, I think that you have to be willing to say, at a minimum, that ghosts, at least in this technical definition of the word ghosts, and you can say that these are exceptions, these are anomalies, these are special circumstances, but you cannot say that ghosts never exist biblically.
You can't say they're not compatible. And when I was trying to debate you, I was thinking about trying to say something. You've said this on the Life Report, that it's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. That sound familiar?
Yes.
Did I say that correct?
Yeah.
So these are not These are isolated cases. They're both brought on, I think it's safe to say, by God.
Yeah.
Not things that are going to be a regular occurrence.
Well, the Bible's not teaching us a doctrine of ghosts one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It is telling us two stories of manifestations of ghosts within the physical realm. And I think you can take that for what it's worth. I don't see either a case for saying that every single haunting that is ever reported is legit based on mm-hmm. this, and that we should have widespread belief in ghosts. But I certainly wouldn't go the other way either off of these two passages.
So I guess it's possible to say, I agree with what you said, that I don't believe in a lot of the hauntings that we hear about as being actual ghosts. But I guess we could say that maybe sometimes God may allow for ghosts to come back sometimes.
Yeah. To Dave's point that he brought up, that a lot of these hauntings are demons.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily find that far-fetched. I think that demons can play a role
yeah.
in that type of thing. However, I'd be hesitant to say that it's always demons every time.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I was growing up, this is what I was taught, that demons are behind all of these mysterious things that we can't understand.
Yeah.
So aliens, if you think you saw an alien, that's a demon.
Yeah.
If you think you saw a ghost, it's a demon.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of a way that we can try to explain it using the Bible, if the things that we can't explain otherwise, I think.
Little tangent here, because I have a question for you that
okay.
just came to my mind.
Oh, good.
There are a lot of Christians who tend to be uncomfortable with genre fiction and fantasy sci-fi stuff.
Okay.
Do you think that part of that is because there's this widespread explanation out there that aliens are demons and ghosts are demons and everything that we can't explain is a demon?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start talking about things like science fiction, we're talking about hard to explain stuff. We're talking about phenomena like aliens, mm-hmm. all of this. And a lot of Christians see that and they read demon into that and they get freaked out and run in the other direction.
I've never thought about that. I think that a lot of people, a lot of conservative, maybe Christians, think that anything that isn't exactly from the Bible is bad.
Yeah.
And so you'll hear the people that, or, you know, Harry Potter, for example, obviously talks about witchcraft.
Yes.
So that is automatically satanic. I don't agree with that.
We'll have to do a Harry Potter episode sometime.
Well, it's perfect timing because the movie's coming out in like a month.
In 2 months.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I could see that. I've never really thought through all the way, but I suppose that could be a reason that they're just afraid. I think it's afraid of the unknown, afraid what you might be opening yourself up to. A lot of people will talk about not participating in certain activities because you're just inviting demons into your life.
Yeah. And there are things that I would agree with on that. For example, stuff like using a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're asking for trouble. Clearly, the Bible, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the Bible does have some clear demands about seeking after ghosts and practicing the summoning of the dead and all of that, and it says don't do it.
Yeah, do you have that Deuteronomy passage open?
I do. I can get it.
I got it right here. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. He's talking to Israel here, but I think a lot of people think that this might be able to apply to us, but let's talk about it and give me your thoughts, Ben. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There should not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer, or anyone who inquires of the dead.
Or Harry Potter!
For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. So he clearly hates this stuff.
Yeah, I think that this is a really interesting point. And where I want to talk about with this a little bit is the worldview that existed in ancient Israel and in Jesus' time regarding ghosts.
Okay.
I'll come back to this verse in a second, but let me first point out another story of Jesus walking on water.
Yes, I know.
And what do his disciples think he is?
It's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
N.T. Wright makes the point in his book Surprised by Hope, where he's talking about the resurrection, and he's arguing against the belief that the resurrection that it was just a spiritual manifestation of Jesus. Jesus didn't really physically come back to the dead. And he makes the point that that would have been nothing special to the disciples, and they wouldn't have gotten all that excited about it mm-hmm. because ghosts were widely accepted within that worldview.
Yeah, in fact, in Luke 24:39, he says, "Behold my hand." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself." And I'm just going to quickly skip ahead where it says, "For a spirit has no flesh and bones, and yet you see that's what I have.
Yeah, so we clearly see that the worldview of ancient Israel and first century Judaism believes in ghosts.
Yeah, they do.
Which, to get back to some of those verses on Paul about how I'm going to be absent from the body but present with the Lord, I think we need to understand that while Paul is saying that stuff, and while we can wrestle with how some of the ideas impact that debate, Paul most likely believes in ghosts in his worldview because of the world that he lives in.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. So, well, then what do you, let's talk about that verse, because both Dave and Brady referenced it.
Well, do you want to talk about that one or the Deuteronomy one first?
Okay, let's do Deuteronomy and then we'll come back.
Okay, here's my thought on Deuteronomy. That's a really, really strong statement against divination, against summoning the dead, mm-hmm. against interacting with ghosts. I don't think God would give that strong of a warning if there wasn't really legitimate danger there. In other words, I think that you can use that verse as an argument in favor of ghosts because God is saying, don't mess with this stuff because there is something to it, and I don't want you fooling around with it.
So, like I said, I was always raised being told that this is all demonic yep. activity. So do you think it's possible that he says don't mess with that because he knows that really what's behind it is the demonic presences that we don't want to invite into our lives?
I think it's a both and. I again, to go back to the whole issue of are hauntings demons or are they ghosts, I would answer yes. Some are probably ghosts, some are probably demons. Mm-hmm. Same thing here, that why doesn't God want you to mess with this stuff? Well, because he doesn't want you fooling around in the spiritual realm. Part of that's demonic, and part of it may also be that he doesn't want you summoning ghosts and legitimate dead people, that mm-hmm. there's danger in that as well. I don't think that it has to be an either or okay. for what the danger is.
Let me ask you this. Let's say it is possible to summon a dead person.
Yeah.
Where are they coming from? Because if we do believe that you go someplace when you die,
mm-hmm.
heaven or hell, I mean, I guess this would be against what Brady was saying when it comes to soul sleep, but where are we taking these, or where are we calling these spirits from?
Well, I think that it would be similar to where angels and demons exist right now. I don't think there's a huge worldview shift or anything that, if you believe in angels and demons, you can also believe that the souls of the dead are in a similar state in regards to our physical world.
Well, I think that angels and demons, I think that the spiritual realm could be, like, angels and demons could be in this room right now.
Yeah.
We don't see them. But I don't think that ghosts of our family members are in this room right now. Or, like, spirits of our family members.
How can you tell? What would the difference be?
Well, instead of answering that question, I would ask, I mean, because, okay, I'll add to that. I think that the Bible specifies that angels and demons are interacting with this world, but there is nothing to say that the spirits of our dead friends and family
sure.
are interacting with this world. I think they're either in a heavenly place or in a damnation place right now.
Well, talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
But I think that, again, if the Bible doesn't confirm or deny the existence of ghosts, and we're speculating here,
yeah.
so even though it doesn't directly confirm that ghosts would interact with the world in the same way angels and demons do, I don't think that it contradicts that either.
Let's see. Well, what about today you'll be with me in paradise?
Yeah. So let's talk about that and okay. get back to this whole absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Okay.
Two explanations I think you could give for this, for how these verses could be compatible with a biblical view of ghosts.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily know that I believe in one of these more than the other. I just think, and I don't even know that either one would be correct. But I think these are two legit explanations that would jive with Scripture.
Okay.
First one is that time is different in eternity than it is here. So when Jesus says, today it will be with me in paradise, he's speaking of an eternal perspective where time is different for that person after he dies. And so from the individual perspective, when his next conscious moment is in paradise after death, but chronologically it doesn't work out quite the same way.
I can see that. I don't think that if we talked earlier about reading the text for what it was and
sure.
just using the most simple
It's not the clearest reading.
It's not the clearest reading. So, and we kind of gloss over that, but yeah, Jesus had said this to one of the thieves on the cross next to him when mm-hmm. they were both about to die. He told the thief that seemingly came to repentance
yeah.
and belief in Jesus as God that today you thief will be with me in paradise. So, yeah. okay, so
a possible explanation. So but
what's your second?
My second one would be that those verses could be referring to what happens to believers, but that damnation is deferred till after the final judgment.
Okay, so let's say you're not a Christian and you die. Instead of going anywhere, your spirit roams Earth?
Yes.
That's a mess.
I do believe in eternal judgment. We're not denying the existence of hell.
No.
But I think that there's a lot of mystery between what happens between when you die and the final judgment.
Okay, let's think about the parable that Jesus told. We don't necessarily have to believe it's true, but about Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah.
But it seems to be telling a story of what the afterlife is like. Even though that might be a parable, we're showing that they're in two separate places. Abraham and the rich man who we see is in damnation of some sort. He's in suffering.
Sure.
What do you think? I mean, it doesn't say he's...
We had talked in our Clones episode about not taking that parable literally in its details. The point isn't the specific details of it. The point is the larger message that it's trying to teach. So if we hold to that there, we have to hold to that here.
Well, I mean, this is what I would say about that parable, that it is not a true account of something that actually happened, but that it is that Jesus is teaching us a little something about what afterlife might be like.
I don't even know that that's necessarily the point of the parable. I think he's certainly taught, it certainly implies final judgment. It certainly implies that there are two separate final destinations.
That we can't cross from one to the other.
Right, but I don't know that I would take it as a definitive description of what happens immediately when you die.
I think it does imply that because the rich man's dead. He wants somebody to go back. Actually, this actually ties in with ghosts. He wants Lazarus or somebody to go back and talk to his family and say, hey, believe so you can go to heaven, basically.
So if we are to take this as literal detail,
yeah,
then it would be theoretically possible for somebody to leave heaven yeah. and come and manifest in the physical realm.
Yeah, because Abraham replies by saying, even if somebody came back from the dead, they still wouldn't believe because they have the law and the prophets. So yeah. Abraham's not saying that's impossible, they can't come back. He's saying even if they did come back, it wouldn't do any good.
Wow. So I think we just found
another example.
A great way around this issue of present, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can't come back. Because this parable, if we're to take the details literally,
okay,
so seems to imply that you can.
So here's what I would say. I think there is places that we go when we die, and that the spirits are not roaming aimlessly, but mm-hmm. that there seems to be, at least from heaven's side, you can come back in some form.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can say that the people that are damned can come back.
Well, again, I think it goes back to that there's a lot of mystery between death and final judgment. We don't know all the details of what happens between one and the other.
Yes, that is definitely true.
We know that your soul goes somewhere, the whole absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we seem to know from this parable that you can come back. And we have examples of that taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So that really complicates the issue. And basically where I would come down is, again, to say, I don't think the Bible spells out a specific doctrine of ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of mystery here, and you can believe quite a few different things and
yeah.
still be compatible with Scripture.
I think, though, I would want to argue, and I want you to come back and try to fight me on this, I would want to argue that souls of the people that are not saved would stay on Earth and just kind of, they could be hanging out right now. I don't think there's nowhere in the Bible where you could use that. Or you could never use the Bible to argue that point, I don't think.
I don't know that you could use the Bible to definitively argue against it either.
You think it's silent on the subject?
Mm-hmm.
But where would you even come up with that then? Just because you don't know where else they would go?
Yeah, exactly. That you assume that they're now in the spiritual realm similar to what angels and demons are doing.
What about the rich man? He's in some sort of torment right now. So okay. I think that would be evidence that they do go someplace.
Again, it all depends on how literally we're taking the details of that parable. Because it is a parable.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I don't know that I could draw a definitive conclusion on that subject, but I also don't know that I necessarily disagree with your point either.
Good.
I'm just not sure that the Bible is definitive on that.
Yeah, it is one of those issues where they don't really clarify. The Bible doesn't clarify its exact stance.
Exactly. So there's a lot of mystery here, but where it is spelled out, I would argue that the Bible leans toward the existence of ghosts. Maybe not widespread in the way people believe,
yeah.
but it's certainly where we do get details, it is pro-ghost.
I would have to agree. And that's what we talked about before we even started recording this episode, that I don't think you could go to the Bible and say, nope, no ghosts, not possible. But I 100% would say, as you just said, all the stories that we're hearing and the TV shows that, you know, have ghost hunters, I would say the majority of those are not real ghosts.
Yeah.
I think that if ghosts occur, it is a rare incident, not a very common thing.
I would agree with you. In fact, I would say that most of those incidents are probably not even demons. They're people getting worked up or hearing things.
Or on drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All that fun stuff. So let me ask you this then, Matt.
All right.
Why are so many Christians adamant about the non-existence of ghosts? Because it's a really big sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. It's because, like I said...
You had this discussion last night.
Yeah, and it got semi-heated. Not like we were going to hate each other, but I mean, people were taking a strong stance.
So Ryan won't listen to the Sci-Fi Christian now.
He's not listening.
Wait, he never does.
My roommate's name is Ryan, and he's not a listener.
He is not.
But...
we don't feel supported by Ryan.
Anyways, why do they feel so strongly about this? I tend to think a lot of Christians, if they can't explain it biblically and it's unknown, they would rather just push it aside and not talk about it. I mean, think about the fact why... let's talk about Ryan, my roommate. He's been a Christian his whole life. How has he never heard this story? Why doesn't the church bring this up every now and then? That
yeah.
There's a story of a man dead being brought up by a medium and then talking to the king of Israel. That's a pretty big deal that they don't really... I mean, you don't do sermons around that topic.
Yeah, the pastor's not sure what to do with it, so yeah. You just move on to 1 Samuel 29 instead.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's easier to say, we don't believe in that, we don't want to talk about that, than to really dive in and try to answer some of the questions that we answer on the Sci-Fi Christian.
I think that is a really good point. So I think that we on the Sci-Fi Christian play a dual evangelistic role.
Oh my gosh, completely.
We are bringing sci-fi fans closer to faith, and we are bringing Christians closer to sci-fi.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's what we do here.
Absolutely.
With our fringe theology.
Yes. But I agree with you. I think that a lot of it does have to do with non-desire to embrace mystery. A lot of it has to do with, we're not quite sure what to do with that and how we would understand it. The other part that I would bring up is that we've talked about how, in our Clones episode, we've talked about how the ultimate destination for the afterlife isn't a disembodied existence in heaven, but is the new heaven and the new earth and then physical resurrection. And I think a lot of Christians are confused on that point, where they think that you go to heaven when you die and that's it.
Yeah.
So to get back to Brady's point, it's confusion about what exactly the Bible's talking about when it talks final judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Because like we had mentioned, we believe here at the Sci-Fi Christian that ultimately we're going to have a physical body, a physically glorified body.
Yep.
And living on this earth that we're currently living on, which has also been restored by God.
Yes.
And this is what you think of as heaven isn't up there somewhere. It's right here.
We will be recording the Sci-Fi Christian in eternity.
Oh my gosh, we totally could.
We could.
Wow, never thought about that.
That's pretty amazing.
Episode 1,032,000.
Yes. Ghost debate part 59, because we ran out of topics a few millennia ago.
So interesting. Yeah.
So I think that because a lot of Christians believe that final judgment is immediately after you die, then they assume that you kind of get shuffled into one pile or the other, heaven or hell, and that's it. And mm-hmm. So there really isn't room in the worldview for this kind of mysterious in-between phase between death and final judgment, which is later.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know exactly what's going to happen. We have a pretty good idea. I mean, people feel like they have a good idea that you're going to go someplace, but we don't really know. And we should talk just briefly about soul sleep. I think that's an interesting idea, which is that when you die, instead of, this is what Brady had brought up in his email, when you die, instead of going someplace immediately, it will feel immediate to us because we are in a complete sleep, you could say, or, you know, when you're like, you're frozen like Captain America, you don't know what time is passing.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of
like being stuck in an iceberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. And so then all of a sudden you wake up and the whole world has ended. It's time for judgment. So to you, it feels like instantaneous, but
it's kind of like 28 days later.
Haven't seen that movie.
So at the beginning, the main character is like in a hospital bed and mm-hmm. he wakes up and everything's zombie apocalypse.
I think that's what happened on Walking Dead too. But
it is.
Okay. Interesting.
Ripoff.
So, anyways, what do you think about that? You think there's any merit to Soul Sleep?
Probably not. I think that, again, the whole absent with the from the body, present with the Lord, today will be with me in paradise, the clearest reading of the text would go against that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seems unlikely to me that that's the case. But then again, there are some verses that would seem to imply in its favor. And if that is the case, then when it comes to the whole today will be with me in paradise, I think you do have to go with the chronology argument that it's more about your next conscious moment than it is about actual 24-hour chronology.
It would have been kind of long for Jesus to say, this is going to be hard to understand, but it's going to feel like today you'll be with me in paradise, but actually in thousands of years we'll be back together.
Maybe he did say that on the cross. And
but
scripture writers just summarized, oh crap, that's too complicated. Yeah,
they're never going to get this.
Today you'll be with me in paradise. Keep it short, Jesus. Condense your thoughts.
I'm pretty sure
they weren't actually yelling that at him on the cross. Sorry, Jesus, I feel a bit bad now. Should we get to our listener feedback, or do you have any more thoughts on ghosts?
Yeah, can I say one quick thing here? I
think you can.
Well, thank you. So
you have my blessing.
So when I was at first kind of tackle this debate from the side that, you know, demonic presences were mostly behind hauntings and ghosts and whatnot, I read something kind of interesting that I never really thought about, but makes complete sense. So, you know, I'll set the stage. You go to meet with a medium or a psychic.
At the forest moon of Endor.
And you want to ask about your grandfather who has passed away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the psychic, let's call him Zoltan.
Zoltan the Destroyer.
Zoltan. He starts telling you these things that only your grandpa could know. And that convinces you. And you're like, oh my gosh, nobody could have known those details. There's no way Zoltan knew this. This is clearly my grandpa. Yeah, it's interesting that you know, demons have been around forever, basically, on Earth. So they've been roaming around, watching over us and trying to mess with our lives. And they've been watching over our grandparents and trying to mess with their lives. So demons could communicate to Zoltan details about my grandpa that they know because they're, you know, around us and watching us. And so that would kind of explain some of those things that are hard to explain, like how could they have known? Bam, yep. Demons.
Yep. I think the bottom line for me is that whatever the explanation is, God clearly says don't mess with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not supposed to go seek it out. We're not supposed to be pursuing mediums, psychics, communication with the dead, any of that, whether it is literal communication with the dead or demons. God says no, so don't do it. That's our general rule to live by.
Very nice, Ben.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some listener feedback.
Thank you.
And we can start with some updates on our contest, Matt.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us about the contest, because it's your contest.
Yep, if you were here with us last week, you know that I have a brand new, never used or opened edition of Ted Deckers.
Wait. You're giving away new stuff now.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is better than the last contest where you read the book.
We've changed our ways.
And
we have brand new things for you. So it's a book called The Priest's Graveyard by Ted Decker. It just came out the latter part of last month. And you can win it so very easily. If you like reading, you may like a website called goodreads.com. And after you make a login, you can seek out Ben DeBono and Matt Anderson.
Or you can go to our website, scifichristianpodcast.com. And over on the left-hand side, you will see links to both of our Goodreads accounts.
Yep, and just friend us. And then you'll be automatically entered to win this brand new book.
Yeah, and Skip, you need to be on Goodreads, man.
Okay.
Skip still isn't on Goodreads, and I wanted to call him out on the show for it.
We've received a good response.
We have. We've had like quite a few people.
Yeah.
Several.
Thank you for not saying the number. It's
good to know.
Yeah. So
more than usually enter our contest.
Since we only had one last
time. Kobe entered our contest and he was the winner. And
hey, speaking of Kobe, did we read his feedback?
Oh yeah, Kobe.
About ghosts?
Oh my gosh. Kobe's brain works like no one else's brain I've ever met.
Here's what Kobe wrote. Okay, I'm just gonna
go for it.
We're gonna skip backwards a little bit. I totally believe in ghosts. I think that ghosts, as we call them, are just a form of demonic presence. I really do believe in ghosts, and I think that everyone needs to be aware of ghosts because of spiritual warfare that is going on all around us. So ghosts, yes, but they are not just random people floating around. They are, in my opinion, demonic spirits.
So here's what I love about Kobe. He begins his comment by saying, I totally believe in ghosts, and then spends the rest of his comment talking about how he doesn't believe in ghosts.
But and you actually call him out on Facebook.
Yeah, because he... What I said to Kobe was, so let me get this straight, Kobe. You believe in ghosts, but only if we redefine the word ghost to mean demon instead of ghost.
And then he said...
Yep.
So, very nice.
Yeah. So, Kobe, I'm not sure your logic and definitions hold up very well.
Speaking of Kobe, you read... Find us on Goodreads.
Yeah, why aren't you on Goodreads, man?
Yeah, I love this website. I check it now kind of like I check Facebook just to see what new books my friends are reading.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And the more people you get on there reading stuff, the more fun it is.
It is. It's been really good. So, in conclusion, join Goodreads. Friend Ben and myself, you will be entered to win. And we will be announcing the winner next week on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Yes.
And let's just pick what day we're going to record. We should tell them what day they
I
have
no
tell.
Idea. Because yeah, you're know going either. To Colorado next week.
I know. So, maybe next Wednesday.
Maybe. So, we'll see.
Yeah. So maybe next Wednesday we'll be recording.
Soon.
Perhaps.
Perhaps soon. Okay. We have a wonderful email here from Brandon, who I think is probably the number one fan of the Sci-Fi Christian and the best listener we have, and this email should explain why. So he begins, Dear Master Ben and Padawan Matt.
Mm.
Oh boy, where do I start with last week's episode? Ben, I think you need to send Matt on a vacation. After last week's episode, I am really having doubts about his geek cred.
Wait, what?
You need to send him away so he can spend his time sitting by a pool and catching up on comics, movies, and of course, the complete works of Tolkien along with a Middle-earth Atlas, which I have, by the way.
What didn't I know last week?
Just hang on.
Okay.
I offer myself and Colin to fill in as co-hosts while Matt is on vacation.
Oh,
you can
gosh.
Skype us in. Hobbit hole or hoverboard? Hobbit hole all the way.
Oh my gosh.
Hobbit holes don't require a power source like hoverboards. No batteries required. And they won't be found in the dump years after they have broken. Hobbit holes also offer a hill over your head and a good fire on cold Shire nights. Hoverboards just can't fill that hole. Pun intended.
Very nice.
Lastly, why all the hate, Matt? So much for you defriending me on Facebook, Matt. I am still waiting, Matt. I even wished you a happy birthday, and you thank me. Oh, I just know we all love you, Brandon.
Oh, okay. So he kind of brought it back around. I won't defend you, Brandon. If you watch our Fringe review as well as our Game of Thrones review, you'll see that I'm wearing the shirt that you recommended to me. That I purchased a Back to the Future one. So thanks, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
We're friends.
But I really enjoyed that email quite a bit.
I can't believe I was called a Padawan.
Yeah. He basically ripped on you the entire email. It's
and then
pretty
like
wonderful.
At the very end tried to make it better, but yeah. It's not better.
One line. Just kidding.
You can't unbreak my heart.
Yeah, but hoverboards suck, man. But did you see that I sent you that link earlier this week after we recorded?
That there's one for sale?
Yeah. They're selling the actual props. You can have your non-hovering hoverboard if you really want it.
I'm going to think about that.
It's like $2,000.
That's not that much for a pink hoverboard.
I don't think you will be. Yeah, it's pink.
That's what it is in the movie. You haven't seen the movie, but he has a pink hoverboard.
It's a little weird, man, that you want a pink hoverboard.
Wait until you see it and you'll understand why it's pink.
Now I'm really disturbed.
We have to watch this movie sooner than later.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. A couple weeks ago, I don't remember when we actually had this, but we were talking about, maybe it was last week, God and Star Trek. Yeah, that was during our top five sci-fi worlds, because we were talking about how Star Trek was fairly godless, or at least we thought it was.
Yeah.
And we didn't know for sure, but then Brady bailed us out and sent in an audio file.
Let's hear it.
Hi, this is Brady Harden from St. Louis. Wanted to give a little feedback on Star Trek referring to God. The movie Star Trek Final Frontier had everything to do with God. There was some religious fanatic who believed they found God in the universe, and so they went to go find him. And they found him, and to find out he was a fraud. So, at the end, this is what Captain Kirk says.
We were speculating. Is God really out there? Maybe he's not out there, boss. Maybe he's right here.
So he says, maybe God's not out there, maybe he's in here, and points to his heart, which goes back to his whole stupid mindset that God is inside of each one of us, and we're all part of the same God organism, blah, blah, blah. So basically, it's kind of run through a lot of Star Trek, that's kind of what they believe. So just wanted to give you a heads up, Star Trek sucks when it comes to believing in God, because they don't know anything. Hey! Anyway, you guys have a good one, and I love your show. Peace.
I think we could have just left it as Star Trek sucks.
Oh, stop. Stop. That's not true.
It's kind of true.
Hey, did you see what Brady wrote this morning about what he's learned from the Sci-Fi Christian?
That he is weird?
Listen to this. There is something really special about how your show, about your show that brings out all my quirks. Number one, I love sci-fi way too much. Number two, I have a vast and useless knowledge of zoo cryptology, i.e. theories on Bigfoot being transdimensional, which I do not believe, by the way.
Yes, but Matt does.
And number three, and now I believe that ghosts can exist. I promise I am normal in person. This show just brings out the strange side of in all of us, and I think I like it like that. Live long and podcast, as Colin would say.
Yeah.
So, and we responded to that. Yes. I agree with that.
And as do I. Well said, Brady.
Yeah, very well said.
Final question from Jimmy, who is listed as James on Facebook, so I never know if he wants to be called James
or
Jimmy.
It's Jimmy. I thought you said there was two emails that you got that I hadn't read yet. You started?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
That is it.
Great.
So Jimmy says, I have a question I'd like to open up to the community. So if you want to reply to this, you can go out to our Facebook page and see Jimmy's post there and reply to it there. For a Christian, boy, my voice just cracked. I am 13 years old, apparently. For a Christian, what is the proper way to approach content and entertainment? I know there is a verse in the Bible, you can tell how scholarly I am, that says something to the effect of flee all appearances of evil. My question is, where should a Christian draw the line? I know some people would say the movie has violence and language in it. It doesn't glorify God, therefore you should not watch it. But then I know others who seem to not be bothered by the content, myself included, but I wonder if that is biblical. I heard the guys touch on this briefly on the show, and I guess I'm just wondering what people's thoughts are. So Jimmy wants to hear your thoughts, but let's share ours with him as well.
It's really interesting and timely that he brings this up because let's again go behind the scenes, Ben.
Yes.
I think it was last week or the week before, off the air, I talked to you about Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones has some violence, has nudity, has
special adult time.
Yeah, some inappropriate stuff. And so I said, since we're doing the reviews, Ben, do you think we are doing a disservice? Because we're calling ourselves Sci-Fi Christians, so we're endorsing Christianity, but at the same time, we're endorsing this show that has subjects that go against Christian worldview.
Here's my answer to that.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to give your answer?
No, just stop talking.
Okay, just stop talking.
Yeah, so Ben, yes. I presented this question to you, and why don't you give your response live on the air?
I think that the way I approach entertainment in terms of this question is you have to think in a couple of categories. Number one, what is the content? Where is it taking your heart? You know, if it's taking you to a bad place where you are sinning, lusting, whatever, you should probably either not watch the content or not watch those scenes. So pay attention to where your heart's going. But the more important issue, I think, is what is the truth that that piece of entertainment is communicating? So in other words, is it teaching truth that points you closer to God, that is good stuff for you to wrestle with, or is it stuff that is dangerous and damaging?
Mm-hmm.
For example, and this is maybe a bit of a tease for our long-promised Alan Moore episode.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished reading the graphic novel V for Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely well done, but I think that some of the themes in there are point to truths that are not compatible with biblical Christianity. Specifically, its endorsement of anarchism. V is a pretty sadistic guy. Mm-hmm. I won't give away any spoilers right now. But there's some beliefs and truths communicated in that graphic novel that are pretty bothersome, and I would not necessarily recommend it to people.
Okay.
Not because of the content in it.
Interesting that you actually gave it to me to read today.
Yeah. So that you could read it for our Alan Moore episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell people not to read it. I just say read it with discernment.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of Game of Thrones, I feel like it's presenting some good things to wrestle with. Like, what does it look like when the world is hard and you're trying to stand up for honor in a dishonorable world,
mm-hmm.
as the Starks are? The questions of betrayal, questions of corruption in power, and what does it mean when our leaders seem to be completely corrupt in every aspect, and mm-hmm. and really good stuff to wrestle with. I don't see it as negative thematically or in terms of the truth that it communicates.
Interesting. Well, I'm really excited to see what other people respond.
Well, what are your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, this is, well, you know, I struggle with it a little bit. This thing that I'm struggling with the most, let's just talk about Game of Thrones, is the fact that we're putting ourselves out there and really endorsing it, really saying that you should watch this show. And I don't really, I mean, it's not for everybody. I
know
there's a lot of people that I don't think, I'm sorry, I'm hitting the microphone. There's there's a lot of people that I don't think should watch it. There's a lot of stuff in there that's not, you know, that would not be overall accepted by the Christian community. So I
think we can put it out there with that caveat.
Yeah.
That be aware of the content in there, and if it bothers you, or you think you're going to go to a bad place with it, don't tune in.
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually where
you're under 18.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's where I was going to head with it is that, so then besides the fact that we are endorsing it, we as Christians ourselves are, you know, should we even be watching this ourselves? And so then, like Ben had just said, what is it doing to your insides? Is it making you want to do the things that you're seeing or act out on it? Or are you able to discern what's right and wrong and actually draw out the truth from it?
So if you're wanting to put a jousting lance through somebody's throat as a result of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. you should quit tuning in.
Exactly.
I think that's where the sci-fi Christian lands on this question.
Exactly. So listeners, go ahead and respond on Facebook, or you could email us at
feedback@scifichristianpodcast.com or call us at
612-4121-SFC.
Indeed.
Actually, they could kind of contact us about anything if they want.
Yeah, as long as it's sci-fi related.
Let's tease next week, Ben.
We are going to be talking about just some recommendations, discussion of some of the sci-fi. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
We need to end the show.
Okay.
Sci-fi fantasy stuff that we've been reading, watching lately, thinking about. So if you have any recommendations or anti-recommendations...
Yeah.
That you would like to give us, you can send it into any of those places we just mentioned, put it up on Facebook. We want to hear from you guys what type of stuff you've been watching and enjoying lately. And we're just going to kind of talk about, you know, what we've been doing sci-fi related. We tend to watch a lot of things and read a lot of things that don't necessarily fit into the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a chance to talk about. So yeah. This will be an episode where we do just that.
Yep, I'm excited to do that. And I am also excited to hear what you guys out there are thinking about watching, reading, listening to. If there's any... awesome sci-fi podcasts out there that you want us to check out, such as The Sci-Fi Diner or Fringe Casting, which now they're probably going to be on a summer hiatus. But I'm sure there's others out there that we don't even know about. So anything sci-fi related, email us, call us, Facebook us. You could even tweet
us. Next week's a catch-all, yep.
So, yeah.
So good times.
Well, that's all from here.
That is all from here. Good episode, Matt, on Ghosts.
Good job, Ben. I look forward to next week's... I don't know, reflection on recent activities.
We'll have to come up with a catchy title for it.
All right. Well, I'm Anderson.
I am Ben DiBona.
We're the Sci-Fi Christians.
Signing off.